This is In Conversation from Apple News. I'm David Green, in for Sumita Basu. Today, the forces behind American men's testosterone obsession. This summer, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announced that testosterone screenings would be required for service members aged 30 and over, and that testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT, may be recommended to them. It was a moment that brought this hormone into the national spotlight after quietly growing in popularity. Last year, testosterone prescriptions were the highest ever at nearly 12 million, a 154% increase since 2020. And according to a new survey by Men's Health, 70% of men nationwide say they think their testosterone levels are important. With telemedicine's recent rise, the hormone is easier to get than ever and being marketed to age groups from boomers to Gen Z.
It's not just for middle-aged men who actually need to restore their depleted testosterone levels.
That's journalist Michael Andor Broder. He recently wrote about the state of American testosterone for Men's Health. He's also the author of the book Swole, The Making of Men and the Meaning of Muscle.
It's being cast as part of the wellness toolkit, both in terms of longevity and just in your day-to-day presentation of manhood.
Michael is a bodybuilder himself and has been thinking about his own relationship with testosterone, also called T, for years. I wanted to sit down with him to talk about how men in America are using testosterone, what the science tells us about the actual risks and benefits, and what's truly different about this moment for masculinity in our country.
You've been so immersed in all of this for so long, bodybuilding and gym culture, and you wrote a book about muscle. Like, how do you capture in words this moment when it comes to testosterone?
It's an interesting question. It's kind of a mix of extreme clarity and extreme confusion.
Those things sound polar opposites in some ways. But
yeah. So, I mean, it's a mess is a nice way of putting it. But certainly testosterone has entered the cultural conversation in a way that it just hasn't before. When I was growing up, I had what I would just call a conceptual relationship to testosterone. When I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger or Bruce Willis in Die Hard or Bo Jackson on the field or something,
yeah,
I knew that they were representative of these high testosterone men. I think for kids who grow up today, they're far more immersed from the get-go, not just in social media, but in optimization culture, which is, no pun intended, sort of like wellness on steroids.
Yeah.
And their view of testosterone is far more concrete. It's a measurable, known quantity. So there's almost this expectation for young men now to meet their potential or optimize themselves. And I can't imagine that. I grew up and testosterone was really more of just this idea of, you know, if you were a real man, you were very high in this stuff. And now it's really seen as more of a magic elixir.
Yeah.
And you'll notice how I haven't mentioned health at all yet.
No.
It's all just been the kind of cultural weight of testosterone, which is very useful in this moment because it's getting marketed with an intensity that we've never seen before.
I want to get a few definitions out of the way if we can, just so people can follow along. The difference between T and TRT, which are two things that are being talked about right now. What is important to understand in terms of the difference?
Yeah, so testosterone is the primary male sex hormone in our bodies. It's largely produced by the testicles. It's responsible for things like muscle mass, sperm production, bone density. Low testosterone levels, that is anything below 300 nanograms per deciliter, can lead to symptoms including loss of bone density and muscle mass, increase in body fat, low energy, lost libido, a whole litany of things.
Under 300, though, that's when you start worrying about those things.
That's the idea.
Okay.
Between 300 and 1,000 is considered normal.
Okay.
So, I mean, even that range shows you how wide and subject to interpretation these things can be. And so there's risks to low testosterone, and TRT is a method of restoring those things. If I can give you a little bit of history, TRT goes back to the 1930s. It was a German biochemist, Adolf Butenandt, and a Swiss chemist, Leopold Ruzicka, who first synthesized testosterone. They ended up sharing a Nobel Prize because of it. This led to research that through the 50s led to pharmaceutically available synthesized testosterone. And that started being prescribed to men with hypergonadism. And that is the inability to produce testosterone. So right now, the FDA only authorizes use of testosterone for men who are suffering from some sort of injury-related or genetic or chronic inability to produce testosterone. It does not extend to the longevity protocols that we see a lot of men getting on to testosterone for.
And so T refers to testosterone. That's the natural hormone that my body creates, and I can have a level of T in my body. TRT is the synthetic replacement that can increase my testosterone levels.
Yeah, it's a biochemically identical testosterone that's synthesized in labs. Anecdotally, when I talk to men who are on TRT, I don't like speaking in absolutes, but I didn't speak to a man who didn't have positive things to say about their experience on TRT. Because the physical things that they say it helped them with cascaded into psychological things, more confidence, showing up a little bit more in their respective worlds. It was very interesting to hear.
And could some of that be placebo? I mean, some of the things like, well, I'm more confident now because I'm doing TRT.
You know, I wouldn't rule that out. So strong is the cultural weight, as we've discussed, behind testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, a lot of these guys were on testosterone before the boom happened. And this is one of the things that people worry about with testosterone, have been using it since. Once you get on testosterone, it's not like you fix the problem and then stop taking it. One of the risks that attends TRT is that you stop producing your own natural hormones and you become dependent on TRT. And there's other things to consider. I mean, you know, we talk about the risks of low testosterone, but high T levels can lead to heart and liver issues, infertility, acne, hair loss, mood swings, breast enlargement, testicular shrinkage, high blood pressure.
You got to consider the trade-offs, I mean, and the risks.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've talked recently on this show about GLP-1s and people experimenting with their own protocols. Like, what does it look like when it comes to TRT? Like, what are people exactly taking and doing right now?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of activity on the FDA front in terms of making TRT more medically legit. There was a lot of fear around suggested relations between TRT and heart attacks or stroke and prostate cancer. So as I said, you know, currently FDA-approved TRT products are indicated for men with only specific forms of hypergonadism. In 2023, though, there was a study, the New England Journal of Medicine that published it. It's called the TRAVERSE study. It was a study of over 5,000 hypergonadal men, big randomized double-blind survey. It found no increase in major adverse cardiac events or prostate-related events, including prostate cancer, among those who participated in the study. It sort of relieved a lot of the caution, and in some ways, it kind of opened the floodgates. I mean,
people feel safer to try this if those risks were.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that all interpretations of the study and all uses and promotions of the study are going to be legit, but this did remove one or two of the main health barriers that were causing trepidation about TRT among a lot of men, myself included. I grew up with a dad who underwent major therapy for prostate cancer in the early 2000s, and it was essentially a chemical castration where he does not produce testosterone. And in fact, I describe it in the story, testosterone was kind of hormona non grata. Mm-hmm. It was we didn't want that. Testosterone would feed the cancer. That was sort of how we looked at it. So the stigmas for me were compounded by my own just like personal anecdotal experience with my father, but also this sort of specter in the medical community that was linking testosterone to these risks. So when this study came along and cleared up a lot of those medical questions, or at least appears to clear up a lot of those medical questions, that sort of started out this cascading series of actions in the FDA to make TRT more widely available to men, especially beyond the stated limitations that were on the label. So like in 2015, the FDA had required a label to include limitations of use stating that the safety and the effectiveness had not been established for men whose symptoms reflected what's called idiopathic hypergonadism, that is hypergonadism without a clear and obvious cause. So like the kind of natural decline of your testosterone over time. So since the Traverse study came out, the FDA has moved to lift those limitations. And in June of 2026, they made a formal request to the updates of those labeling requirements. Hmm. The Men's Health story that I wrote was accompanied by a survey that they ran. And I think it was more than half of the men in the survey, and this was a survey of 2,000 or so men, more than half of them didn't believe that TRT is dangerous to their health, and they are more aware of the symptoms of low testosterone than they are of high testosterone. Hmm. And in fact, a lot of them believe that high testosterone will help you live longer, and that could be the case. We don't have a study backing that up. But okay.
There's no research that actually...
Yeah, and I guess my point is with that is that when it comes to men and testosterone, feelings play a big part.
What do you mean?
Hunches and feelings, this feeling like I'm low. You know, the framing of my own story starts when I turned 40 and I went to go see my doctor, and I had this feeling like, you know, I'm just feeling like... Maybe it was just the odometer flipping to 40. I don't know what it was, but I just
had this. I've been there, my friend, and 50. So the odometer flips and it does make you start asking questions.
Yeah. And so I went in, I had it tested, and I asked him what it looked like. And I'm sitting there hoping that he's going to prescribe testosterone. And he said, no, sorry, you're perfectly normal. And I've never been more disappointed to be told that I was...
I know, reading that was crazy because I was like, that's that moment where you're supposed to be like, okay, I have normal levels. And you're like, yeah. No, I don't want to be normal.
Yeah. So that was weird. And I think I spent the last 10 years sort of examining that feeling. Like, why was normal not good enough for me? Hmm. Even if I was feeling these things that felt like symptoms and they weren't, I was turning to testosterone for the answer. And I can't imagine that I was alone in that.
Well, actually, I mean, Men's Health did this survey of, as you said, more than 2,000 men. Is that largely one of the reasons that they found, like, people wanting some magic solution to things that were changing in their bodies and in their lives?
Yeah, I think there's physical symptoms that turn up. And then there's also just this sort of larger malaise that happens and you wonder what you can do to address it. And then, of course, there's the cultural associations. 70% of men said that their test levels were important to them.
That's like 7 in 10 men in the United States.
Yeah. And now think about that. 70% of these men are walking around and on their list of important things is their testosterone levels. 40% of those men say that the importance they attach to those levels is more important now than it was just a year ago. So this marketing is working. The public consciousness of testosterone and the role it plays is so front and center right now, and it's so different from the conversation surrounding gender-affirming care that we're having when it comes to other people's use of hormones to find their place comfortably on the gender continuum. So it's a fascinating realm right now, and there's just so much going on within it.
Yeah, I wonder how this conversation does show up differently in straight and queer communities. You wrote that many of the men you first heard talking openly about this were, in your own community, gay men. What should we understand about how this is showing up differently in different places?
You know, an interesting thing about the survey was that despite how much we're talking about this in public now, I think it was like 64% of the people surveyed didn't know anyone else on TRT. So there's still this privacy about it. And if you look at a lot of the direct marketing that's happening, a lot of the prescription services that are popping up online, a lot of the allure comes from the unmarked packages, the lack of needing to go see a doctor, the kind of privacy that it affords these men. Now, when I was coming up around a lot of gay men, I think it's because, especially if you're of my generation, the way that you cultivate your presentation of masculinity is a bit more hands-on. Your adoption of masculine traits and tropes and behaviors is part of a larger performance that is kind of in service of your safety when you're growing up. And so I think the features of our masculinity, I would say it's a garden that we might more meticulously attend to than our straight counterparts. And I think that enabled a lot of the gay men that I knew to more assertively decide that testosterone was part of how they wanted to show up in the world. There was less shame and secrecy about it because in many ways, the whole package of how we present ourselves as men was a kind of tailored and highly stylized affair.
I mean, the interesting thing, you know, you talk about, you know, kind of your earlier reflections when it comes to gay men, but part of the mainstreaming of this too feels like we're seeing a lot of straight men who are turning to TRT just to feel like normal, which you could imagine is part of the reason that we're seeing such an incredible boom right now.
Yeah, a lot of the men that I spoke to who are on TRT said that it just made them feel more themselves, which that's what we want for men, right? That's, we want that sort of confidence, that ease of presence. A lot of the problems that we attribute to men come from this inability to kind of express accurate feelings and emotions about themselves. And when men are able to feel like themselves, they tend to move through life in a more healthy way. Now, to get to this point, there's all sorts of stigmas that you have to get through. And even though TRT is becoming more accepted in the mainstream, these stigmas are still there. It's still a very private matter for a lot of men.
I want to think a little bit about some of the younger people who are doing this. Like, half of Gen Z men believe more testosterone will make you better looking.
Mm-hmm.
That number seems to drop significantly among older men. But What does that say about the messages that younger men are getting right now?
So if you're Gen X, you grew up on the cusp of the internet and you have a view of what life was like beforehand and what it was like to kind of construct yourself before the internet. When I consider the life that men who are Gen Z and younger are living, they grew up native to this social media environment where the cultivation of your image is something that happens outside of the body. And so I think it's common for people of my age to look at younger people today and think, oh, they have it so easy. I think the reality is they are existing under the weight of pressures that we could not even imagine, a level of exposure and critique that we never had to endure. The fixation that I see among young men in comment sections across the internet, the fixation that they have on their BMI, their body fat, the technical aspects of their bodies, I can't characterize it as anything else than unusual. It's something new. Kids have always picked on each other for their bodies, but this seems to be advancing into this granular level where if you're not hitting these certain macros, then your whole identity is thrown into question.
What I worry about in thinking about this is, do younger people who are facing those pressures just realize the decision that they're making? Like, as you've said, this isn't like a magic elixir that you spend a week on it and you'll see effects. You have to keep taking this. It's a long-term thing that you might be getting yourself into.
Yeah. And I think the key here is the context in which these young men are discovering the availability of TRT. The vast majority of young men are not getting their medical information from their doctors. They're not setting up an appointment with the doctor to talk about their T levels. They are simply existing online. And once the algorithm gets a whiff of the scent of your interest in testosterone, it will do what it did to me. It will make sure that every 10 posts that you see will be an ad for testosterone. It will be a video that makes itself relatable by asking you about your insecurities. Oh, are you noticing that your sex drive is a little lower? Or are you noticing that you're just not making gains in the gym? Or you notice that that belly fat's not going anywhere? They're encountering TRT in the context of supplements and products and things to enhance themselves. It's not within a medical context. It's not within the context of symptoms and cures. It's within the context of improvement, optimization, excellence, becoming the ultimate version of yourself.
I know complicated was a word that you used at the top, saying that we're getting more clarity, but it's also becoming more complicated. I do wonder, like, what is the relationship with masculinity? You know, you have people in the administration talking about President Trump's testosterone levels. You have Pete Hegseth talking about TRT is a good thing for people in the military. Is there something we should be worried about, that testosterone is tied up with this sort of increase in masculinity as a theme in our society?
Absolutely. I mean, the folks that I talk to about their own TRT use speak to me in terms of their health. It's given me more energy. I've been able to lose body fat. I'm acquiring mass more readily in the gym. They don't usually tell me they feel more like a man. And yet the way that testosterone is being kind of marketed out there is as essential to what I would call optimized masculinity. So what does that look like? So when Hegseth is requiring troops to undergo mandatory annual testosterone screening for personnel over 30, and he says it's not about artificial enhancement, it's about, quote, restoring and optimizing your natural capabilities, protecting your longevity, ensuring that you have the biological foundation required to sustain the fight. But it's hard not to think that this also has something to do with having the military represent what we idealize in terms of our presentations of manhood and masculinity. That's the subtext here. It's a biochemical assertion of dominance. Gender-affirming care is too soft here. It's a way to present a kind of archetype of masculinity and undergird it with actual numbers. You see, like, if you have these numbers, you are qualifying. In online spaces, low T is shorthand for insufficient manhood. The manosphere, the emergence of looks maxing, all of these have prioritized T levels as a straightforward gauge of a man's, not just his masculinity, but what they call his sexual market value, right? Mm. The idea of being able to control this comes with the expectation that you will control this. And I think that's the part of this shifting dynamic around testosterone that we need to pay conscious attention to, that it's not just about health. The way that it's being introduced into culture now has just as much to do with that cultural aspect of it, this preservation and promotion of a certain type of masculinity.
And what is the cost of that, do you think, for men, if we're entering a phase where people think constantly about their masculinity and believe that TRT and sort of higher testosterone levels are the measure of that?
Well, I think it's interesting that once we finally get comfortable with these medical means to assert our most comfortable place on the gender spectrum, the pressure seems to be to go to the most extreme ends, to be as masculine as you can possibly be, to be as feminine as you can possibly be. And there's sort of a contradiction there, because the ability to move to those ends indicates that there is space to move. And I think in pledging our allegiance to a certain type of masculinity or a certain standard, a certain measure of masculinity, what it actually means on paper to be a man, we're kind of surrendering this territory in between that is essential for understanding each other. We can't all be running to the opposite ends of this thing. And so I think the danger of testosterone growing in popularity and accessibility, if there is a danger to it, it's that we lose this ability just to exist where we are. I had a friend ask when he read the article, so, because I end the article with like, oh, maybe I'll go get my blood tested. He asked me if I did it. And I said, no, I'm still kind of just sitting here in my body and I haven't moved to change anything about it yet.
Yeah.
In weightlifting circles, I'm what's known as natural or natty. Hmm. That is, you know, not using any sorts of supplements or gear. I joke that it's actually an acronym that stands for no additional testosterone, thank you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Part of that is just pride. You know, this idea of when it comes to lifting, going as far as you can without any outside assistance. But when it comes to all of the other things that I was thinking at 40 that testosterone might address, there are other paths: exercise, eating right, therapy. There are many, many ways that you can reach some of the same ends that some people are seeing testosterone as a cure-all for. As much as I support the benefits that so many men, I'm talking about like 11 million men are on testosterone. That's a quadrupled amount in the last 30 years.
It's amazing.
As much as I appreciate the benefits that these men are finding, it's got to be part of a larger package. It's got to be part of a larger idea of what it means, if you must use the word, to optimize yourself.
You know, you brought up your dad and kind of your dad's health being sort of a reason to not necessarily dive into the testosterone fad at any point in your life. I mean, it's not something that you're doing yet, even though you've had these temptations to go get your blood work done. Like, as you think about you, your dad, testosterone, masculinity, and what that means. What reflections do you have?
So the final chapter of the book I wrote a couple of years ago details my dad's life, and a lot of it has to do with medical difficulties that he's had, near-death experiences, just one medical challenge after the next. And as I was writing the book, I was also helping to take care of my mother, who was dealing with Alzheimer's. And so while I was writing this book about getting big and looking strong and being a real man, I was watching what I consider to be a true model of strength. And it had nothing to do with brusque, stubbly, harsh masculinity. It had to do with resilience and almost like a softness and an ability to accept where you are and what's happening. A kind of radical acceptance of the body is something that I learned from my dad, and that felt very much in conflict with these potentially vain desires that I had to present a certain way. I think for a lot of people, their dad represents both a model of masculinity and also the opposite of that, the private ways that we know the men that are close to us, the softness that they reveal in our personal lives. So a lot of the thinking that I've done about testosterone is, you know, making the separation between like how I feel like on a cellular body visceral level and how those feelings intersect with desires that I might not have fully articulated to myself about how me and masculinity meet each other.
Well put. Michael, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We'll include a link to Michael Andor Broder's essay for men's health, T-Nation, on our show notes page. And every weekend, you can find new episodes of Apple News and Conversation in the Apple News app. Just tap on the audio tab, the little headphones at the bottom to find it.